Fallout Equestria Starlight, Chapter 19, Baker's Dozen. The square root of 546 is 23.366429109. Power. Despite what many ponies will tell you, true and absolute power corrupts everything. There is no escaping the lure of power. Power is addictive, desirable, and destructive. I had power. Once. The ultimate power of the element of magic resided in my mind. If truth be told, I had almost given in to Spark's lies. I almost let her win, and that would have destroyed myself and Violet. Looking back, I realized that Twilight herself struggled with the lure of power. She failed and in the end gave in. Spark had controlled her life with the lurid promise of Shining Armor's revival. In short, Spark won and survived to this day using her forbidden magic. Looking ahead, I face the ultimate confrontation with Spark and Pride. Will I be able to resist the temptation of the power they offer? Philly's Tower. It loomed over us like a monolith, taunting us, mocking us openly as we stared at it. I scanned the surrounding area, looking for a path towards the building. Blackened and burnt debris littered every inch of the streets. Every building nearby was flattened as if they had been struck by a force of epic proportions. It was like that everywhere I looked. It was strange. This entire area felt dead. It felt like there was nothing here. No life lived here, not even the rat roaches and vermin that infested the rest of the wasteland. The desolation was complete, the silence eerie. I took a step forward, walking into the ruined area. I narrowed my eyes as I gazed upon the tower, wondering briefly what we would find there. A grating noise erupted from the area around us, causing me to stop cold in my tracks. There was something there that I was missing. This was too easy. There was no way we would be able to just waltz right into the tower like this.
"Star," Violet said, looking up at the blackened building.
"What's wrong?"
Something's not right," I said. "Don't you guys feel it?"
"I don't feel anything," Lust said.
I nodded.
"Exactly. There's nothing here. This entire area feels lifeless. It's wrong,"
I said, the panic I felt making my voice jump and quiver.
"Star, it'll be fine. There's nothing to be afraid of. We just need to keep going,"
Violet said, placing a hoof on my shoulder. She smiled, looking up at me with concern in her eyes.
"Once we're inside the tower, we can..."
A loud whining noise interrupted her. I looked up at the tower. The cloud cover surrounding the top of the monolithic building was glowing and crackling with energy.
"Then what is that?"
I said, pointing up. A shaft of blue light shot forth from the cloud, striking the ground before us. My eyes widened.
"Run!"
I shouted. We turned away from the shaft just as a pulse of energy slid down the beam. It exploded when it landed, the intense blast knocking us to the ground. The shaft of light disappeared as quickly as it had appeared, the whining noise dying down. I groaned as I pushed myself up, feeling rock and other rubble embedded in my hindquarters. My friends were in a similar predicament. Another whining noise erupted from the tower above, another shaft of light centering directly on us.
"Fuck!"
I heard Lust shout. I barely had enough time to think as I flared my horn, wrapping myself and my friends in an aura of magic. There was no time for teleportation, so I sent a silent prayer to Luna as I gripped my friends as hard as I could and shoved. Moments later, a second pulse of energy floated down the shaft of light, blasting another crater out of the ground beneath it. I kept pushing on my friends until we were back on solid ground. I stood shakily as I looked down, hoping that we were beyond the borders of the tower area. Unfortunately, we weren't.
The whining noise started up again, and another shaft of light appeared a short distance away from us.
Every pony up and at it!
I yelled.
Head for the perimeter!
We scrambled to our hoofs as another pulse of energy struck, shaking the ground beneath our feet and blasting rubble into the air. I glanced back quickly as the shaft of light receded. The concrete below where it had struck had been destroyed, leaving a dished crater and a cloud of fine dust. I realized that none of us really wanted to get hit by one of these things. I kept rolling around what it could be in the back of my mind. I had never seen a weapon like this before in my entire life. My eyes widened as we ran, another shaft of light appearing in front of us.
Not only is it targeting us, but it is following our movements and predicting where we are going to go,
I thought, shouting out at my friends to make a hard left. We turned, nearly skimming past another shaft that popped up to our side. Luckily, we made it past it before the energy struck ground.
Where did we come in?
Violet shouted. I glanced ahead, seeing normal buildings in an almost sort of ring around the tower itself. I pointed as another shaft of light came down on our tails. The energy pulse came much quicker this time, and we barely were able to keep going before it hit the ground. I snarled and flared out my wings. I'd had enough of this thing and hoped to maybe buy my friends some time to get out to the perimeter. It was the only way I could think of that they could get to safety.
You guys go, I'm going to draw its fire,
I called out. Violet looked at me with fear in her eyes.
What? No, you can't, Star, she yelled back.
I grinned, giving my laugh a wink.
Don't worry, I'll be all right. You guys just get your rears in gear,
I replied, giving my wings another flare. Violet sighed for a moment and turned back to gallop after the others. I could have sworn I saw a tear forming in her eye when she did. I spun about, bringing out Stargazer.
All right, you've got me here. Show yourself!
The whining noise started up again, bringing down another shaft of light, this time immediately upon me.
Shit!
I thought as I tried to move. I didn't have enough time. In my haste, I did the only most logical thing I could think of. I lifted Stargazer above my head, hoping at the very least the pulse would strike it first and give me enough time to move away. I didn't want to do it. I loved my gun very much, but if I had to choose, I had to choose my friends.
If this doesn't work, I'm sorry, Violet, I thought. I wish I had been just a little smarter.
The energy pulse came down in a flash, striking the minigun in its bluish embrace. Then, something unexpected happened. I'd started to move to avoid being made into paste on the ground before I realized that the energy pulse had actually stopped at hitting Stargazer entirely. The gun floated there in mid-air and did absolutely nothing. I blinked.
What?
I thought as I moved beyond the range of the shaft of light to get a better look. Stargazer's casing wasn't even bent by the force of the pulse. I prayed thankfully to Luna that her weapon of choice had been made so strongly, but it raised new questions as to the weapon's construction. How was it capable of surviving something so powerful in the first place? I shook my head, clearing my thoughts as I realized this exactly wasn't the time or place to be pondering Stargazer's secrets. The energy pulse finally dissipated, leaving Stargazer floating there, untouched. I grabbed the gun with my magic and began to run as the whining noise waned, the shaft of light receding. I flapped my wings hard, bringing myself into a flying gallop as I weaved in and out of the new shafts of light that had begun to appear. I only hoped that my friends had made it to safety. A flash caught my attention. Violet was waving her metal hoof at me from just outside the perimeter. I grimaced as I flapped my wings hard, finally coming to rest amidst her and the rest of my friends.
Star, you're all right,
she exclaimed as she trotted up to me, burying me in a mound of green merry goodness. I leaned into her embrace, but all the while I kept my eye back on the tower.
I'm fine, I said quietly. You didn't have to worry. I know, but I still worried anyways,
she replied, looking up at me and then back at the tower area.
So what do we do now? I don't know. Damn it!
I shouted as I looked around. All of the shafts of light had retreated and the grating noise trailed off into silence.
What the fuck was that? Lust said. Some pony attacking us? I shook my head, panting hard. I thought you would know, haven't you been there before?
I asked. Lust pondered my question for a moment and shook her head.
No, now that I think about it, at least never above ground, she replied. But that doesn't answer my question. What was that?
I think that it's a megaspell, I said.
Megaspell? Lust said. I may never have been to the tower above ground, but I've lived here all my life and I've never heard of a megaspell in Philly's tower.
This city died because of a defense megaspell located in the tower, I said, looking up from our hiding spot up at the tower.
The clouds shrouding the top of the tower glowed with arcane power, almost as if they were waiting for us to try and chance another run at the dark building. It mocked us once more, and I growled.
Fuck!
I shouted.
We're so close, too!
Star, come on, we'll find another way in, Violet said. Just calm down.
Calm down? Calm down? Fuck, Violet, she's there, right there!
I shouted at her, not lowering my voice in the slightest.
I can feel her. She's mocking us, sitting in her safe spot. She's laughing.
My mare friend sighed and grabbed onto me, pulling me close into her embrace. I broke down in front of her and the others, falling into her as I started to sob. A quiet cough interrupted us. I looked up at Danish, who stood sheepishly in front of us.
There may be a way in from the underground, he said. I can't make no guarantees, but it's decent odds that my boss might know a way in.
I blinked.
Why would your boss know how to get into Philly's tower? I asked. What are you not telling me, Danish?
The cream-colored unicorn sighed.
All right, look, he started to say. You're probably going to be angry with me about it, but...
But what, Danish?
I said, frustrated tears springing into my eyes.
What is it?
My boss, his name's Gluttony, and he knows how to get into stable 180, Danish muttered.
I blinked again before launching myself at the stallion.
You son of a bitch!
I shouted, grabbing a hold of him.
All this time you had a lead into the tower?
Danish struggled against me and I growled, staring into Danish's terrified eyes. I didn't get far, however, before a green shimmer surrounded me and separated me from the unicorn. I looked up, seeing Violet's horn flaring.
Look, I'm sorry, all right? Danish shouted back as he regained his breath. I wanted to tell you, but the boss, he told me not to. He wanted to see how you'd handle Raph first. Truth be told, I think he kind of likes you. Why else do you think the MMMMM is backing the ministry mayor?
I glared at him.
Violet, let me go so I can murder this deceiving bastard,
I said coldly.
He's been playing us right from the start.
Violet shook her head.
No, not until you can calm down and think rationally, she said.
Oh, I'm quite calm, and I've rationally decided to rip Danish's head off and pour the lice out, I said.
Danish snorted.
Star, cut it out, would ya? He said. I like you, I really do. Why else do you think I'm telling you this shit now? You want to get into Philly's tower? Table 180? I can help you with that.
I glanced away from the stallion, seizing with rage.
I don't like this any more than you do. If I had a bucking choice about all of this, I would have told you the first time I met you. But I don't.
Wait, your boss is Gluttony?
Lust interjected. I thanked Luna for the Pegasi's interruption. I was mad, madder than I'd ever been. Some pony I had considered a friend had lied to me, and I kept trying to work out in my mind why. Danish nodded.
What do you know about him?
I heard Violet ask. Lust shrugged.
Back in the day, he used to be a big-time gangster buck. On occasion, he and I would take a roll in the hay, if you get my drift, she replied. After Pride, though, he disappeared. I wish I knew more, but I just can't remember anything else. It's like there's something there blocking my mind out.
That's fine, Lust. Thank you, Violet said.
Danish snorted.
I sure say don't remember you, he said, glaring at Lust. Before the boss became the boss, he was just a regular MMMMM enforcer.
You probably wouldn't remember me,
Lust said wistfully. After all, I was different back then.
Danish nodded in response.
What do you get out of helping us?
I said quietly, interrupting the two.
I get my boss back, Danish said, looking back at me. I meant what I told you before. Things aren't good in the MMMMM. Several of the groups are even talking about overthrowing Gluttony. He's not a bad pony. He just needs a little help is all.
I looked away again, thinking about what the unicorn had said. I felt like I had been betrayed, but I couldn't blame the stallion, not really. Danish's boss wasn't just his employer, he was his friend. The threat to the MMMMM as a whole and to him was definitely enough to keep him from revealing his true boss. I sighed, looking back at Danish.
Fine, Violet, you can let me go now, I said calmly.
Violet nodded and released her magical hold on me.
Danish, I'm still not happy with you, but I understand. You're trying to protect a friend, am I right?
The stallion nodded.
Gluttony never used to be the big boss. At one time, we were just best friends. I just want to help him, he said, his eyes pleading with me. I sighed.
Then we'll help, I said. We'll meet with this Gluttony and see what we can do to help the MMMMM. After all, I really do owe you one for saving our lives at Coulterfield.
Danish chuckled.
Nah, you don't owe me for that. I'm only asking you to help me, because I really do consider you a friend, he said. And not just a friend of the MMMMM, but my friend.
I groaned audibly before grabbing the stallion into a fierce hug.
Do anything like that ever again and I really will rip your head off, I said, smiling.
Danish laughed.
Deal, he said, pulling away. All right then, every pony, follow me. We'll be there faster than Celestia can eat out a full-grown filly.
I like him, Lust said, winking at me.
I shuddered at the thought of one of the goddesses doing that. I shook the thought away and stood. I looked back at Philly's tower looming over us.
I'll be back, I swore silently. I'll be back before you know it, Spark, and when I find you, we'll end this silly game between us. Star, you coming?
Violet called to me. I looked back at her and smiled.
Yeah, I'm coming,
I said, trotting along after her. Spark and Pride would have to wait once more, it seemed.
Just another thing getting in my way,
I thought. I just hoped and prayed that Pride wasn't stupid enough to unleash Spark upon the wasteland. And even further, I wondered if Lucky was there too. I found myself missing the green mare terribly, even though she was just a figment of spectral poniness. I mulled things over in my mind while we walked, staying deathly quiet. The rest of the group was chatting idly as Danish led us from street to street. We began to move farther away from the tower as I could feel the utter lifelessness that the place exuded lift off my shoulders like it was some form of burden. We walked along the streets of the ruined city for what felt like hours. Danish led us down alleyways that he had indicated were marked safe by the MMMM. I wasn't exactly paying attention to how he knew, and quite frankly, I didn't care. My mind was still stuck on what I was going to do about Spark. I knew that somewhere beneath her harsh exterior there had to still be something good. But how was I going to pull it out? Was it really what I wanted to do? Spark had caused so many problems for me and my friends, from attempted bodily takeover to almost murdering my love. I seethed with hatred for the spirit of magic. It had tried to turn me into that which I feared the most, another goddess. That wasn't what I wanted. I just wanted to be, well, me again. A tap at my shoulder brought me out of my stupor. I looked down and Danish was standing there. He had a sharp grin on his face.
We are here, he said as he pointed up the street we were now occupying.
Situated just several feet away was what looked like an old abandoned factory. A symbol of a donut emblazoned the door leading into the factory's shipping dock.
Follow me quietly and keep quiet. Let me do the talking and you'll be all right.
Expecting trouble? I said casually.
The cream-colored unicorn snorted.
Don't think so, he replied.
Boyer's no better than to fuck with me.
I nodded as Danish stepped up to the door and knocked in a rhythmic tone. The door opened slightly, revealing a dirty brown earth pony stallion standing behind it.
Password, the guard said.
Danish grinned.
Conmain, the unicorn answered.
The guard simply nodded and pushed the door open. Danish stepped in past the guard, waving for us to follow.
Good to see you, Boysen.
You too, Danish, the guard said.
He looked up at me and his eyes widened.
Does the boss know you're coming?
Danish chuckled.
I'm on my way to see him now, he replied.
He in his usual spot?
The guard, Boysen, nodded.
Righto then. Take it easy there, Boysen. Don't work too hard, all right?
Sure thing, boss man,
Boysen said, still trembling with fear as we trotted up behind Danish and into the halls of the factory. I stepped up next to the unicorn and spoke quietly.
What's up with him?
I asked.
Oh, you know, you're the ministry mayor. Not every day you get to see a radio celebrity,
Danish said, chuckling.
Bison's a good buck, though. Not too bright, good for guard work at least.
He continued along as we made it into the factory proper. I looked around in wonder at the operation that the MMMMM had here, which I assumed was the gang's central headquarters. Ponies of all shapes, colors and races fluttered to and fro, attending to the factory's various pieces of machinery. Everything from donuts to cupcakes and even more specialty desserts such as apple strudels and chocolate mousse mouse was being made here. I couldn't help but be amazed at the amount of sweets and confections that the MMMMM was putting out. I also couldn't help but notice the stairs. Every pony continued working, but I could see that while they did, they were staring at us as we walked through the factory.
Am I really that famous?
I thought as Danish led us to a section of the factory that was the office department. At the far end of the cubicle farm were two guards in front of a large door.
Hi, Danish!
One of the guards, a pale blue unicorn stallion with a frizzy dark blue mane, shouted. His horn glowed, tossing a knife through the air at the cream-colored stallion. I almost moved to break into a combat stance and grab the knife before I saw Danish's familiar colored magic take the knife.
Blueberry,
Danish said calmly, sending the knife to the ground in front of the other unicorn.
I need to see the boss. Bullshit you do,
the blue unicorn said.
He's busy. No, I really need to see him. It's important,
Danish said angrily. He motioned at me with his hoof. The other unicorn sneered at me and looked back at Danish.
Oh, Zed, fuck Danish, you got a death wish or something? You know the boss ain't gonna be happy about you bringing her here,
Blueberry said.
Danish snorted. Don't care, she needs to be here. Now, you gonna let me through, or are we gonna have words?
The cream-colored stallion said, stomping a forehoof to the ground.
Fine, you can go in, but just you and her. The others stay out here, got it?
Blueberry said. Danish nodded.
Good, I don't want to hear you crying to me when you get sucker-punched like a little bitch in there, Danish. You had better have a damn good reason for this. Trust me, I do,
Danish said, looking up at me.
Ready for this?
I nodded.
Ready as I'll ever be,
I said. I looked over at Violet and the others.
I'll be fine, you guys just hang out here and we'll be right back.
I trotted behind Danish as he passed by Blueberry and opened the door for me. The blue unicorn continued to sneer at me as I stepped inside the office. Except this wasn't exactly an office. It was like one huge part of the bakery. Kitchen ovens lined the walls like some sort of strange art display. In the center of the room was the largest mass of flesh I had ever seen in my life. It was surrounded by food of all shapes and sizes. It was vaguely earth pony shaped and it took up nearly half the room. Veins popped out from all over the creature as it turned to a rather large banana cream pie and began devouring it without even batting an eye. It turned about and regarded me for a moment. Its eyes were black as night. I couldn't even begin to understand or read them. It turned back to its banquet and spoke, its voice sounding like metal grating upon metal. My eyes widened and my jaw dropped.
So you finally came,
it said.
It's about fucking time. Well, don't just stand there with your jaw hanging out like an open door. You're gonna say something?
The gargantuan beast muttered. I slowly closed my mouth and looked away for a brief moment.
Hey!
The creature shouted, drawing my attention back to it.
Don't look away when I'm talking to you. You're the Ministry Mayor, ain't ya?
Yes, I said shakily. This is gluttony. Shit!
I thought as I looked up and down the MMMMM boss pony.
Danish wasn't kidding when he said he was huge.
Gluttony rumbled with laughter, his flesh sides shaking and quivering as he did.
Good, good. I've been expecting you for some time, Ministry Mayor.
The giant earth pony said before looking down at the cream-colored stallion next to me.
Danish, I assume that this mare has some friends with her.
My friend nodded.
Excellent. Put him up, would ya? We don't want to be ungracious hosts. And leave us be for a while. I've got business to discuss.
Sure thing, boss,
Danish replied. He looked over at me and winked.
I'll be waiting for you when you get done talking.
He turned and strutted out the door, past Blueberry Pie, who merely looked on in confusion as the door closed again. I let my gaze drift up to Gluttony, who was now staring at me with his giant, soulless black eyes.
So, you've been expecting me?
I said, trying to sound at least somewhat confident in my ability to speak to this thing.
Indeed I have. As I understand it, you've been tearing the city a brand new plot hole.
The grating voice of the beast echoed throughout the kitchen. I chuckled nervously at this.
I wouldn't say that, I said.
Gluttony rumbled again with laughter.
Please, you've taken on the cult, the triad, and you even put that old cow, the Balthazar, out of commission.
He said.
But the gangs aren't really why you're here, am I right?
I nodded.
Thought so. You're here for pride.
You know a way to get into stable 180?
I asked.
Of course I do. I was fucking born there.
Gluttony erupted.
That is, I was an original inhabitant of the stable before I came as you see me today.
And why would you wish to help me?
I said.
After all, Raph wanted to help me too by killing me.
Raph, that fucking cow is so stuck in his iron will bullshit he doesn't see what's really going on around him.
Gluttony said.
Pride is poised to fuck the city in its proverbial asshole, and to be perfectly fucking honest with you, I like it here. I'm comfortable, and I don't want that comfort to go bye-bye.
I see, I said. So you want pride out of the picture so you can be comfortable?
Fucking right you are.
Gluttony laughed.
I'm not much for this shit anymore, to be honest, Ministry Mayor. Even running the MMMM is a lot of work, juggling the goddess-loving companies. I'm tired, Radiant Star. I want to retire, but if Pride gets her way, I won't be able to do that now, will I?
No, you certainly won't, I said. So then, how do I gain access to the stable?
Gluttony chuckled loudly before pointing with a giant fleshy hoof at a cabinet on the left side of the room.
In there, you'll find a map of the sewer complex of Chigakolt, along with a memory orb. You need to watch that shit. It will put a lot in perspective for you about pride and what you should expect when you finally find the bitch,
he said. I trotted over to the cabinet and opened it up. Sure enough, there was a detailed map of the entire sewer system in the city, the stable clearly marked. Next to it was a swirling gray and black memory orb. I swept it up into my saddlebags and looked back at the gargantuan beast.
Thank you, I said. I will make sure Pride is stopped. You can count on that.
I started trotting back towards the door, stopping for just a moment to look back at Gluttony.
You know, you're not what I expected.
Oh, and what did you expect?
Gluttony replied, chuckling.
To be truthful, I sort of expected you to try and kill me, I said. Seems like every one of your little group has tried that at least once. Even Lust, despite the fact that she is starting to turn herself around.
Not my style, sweetheart. Besides, I think if I had to fight you, you'd probably win. I mean, fuck, you beat Ruff, he said.
I grinned.
And as far as Lust is concerned, I always knew that Mare had it in her to be better.
She told me that she knew you, I said.
Gluttony nodded, his large form shaking in the cold lighting.
A long time ago, when I didn't look quite like this, he said, sadness twinging the edges of his voice. But that's neither here nor there now. She's got her own destiny, as do I.
I suppose I should tell you, Pride is in a position to absorb a power that will allow her to realize her dreams, I said.
I've suspected as much since I had Danish break you out of Calderfield. She came to visit me, said something big had happened,
Gluttony said. My eyes widened.
Did she say anything about Spark?
I blurted out. Gluttony looked at me curiously.
I apologize, but no name like that came up in our conversation. She seemed excited, though,
he said. I sighed.
I need to get to stable 180 then as quickly as possible, I said with a determined grimace.
Gluttony chuckled.
Then Luna be with you, Ministry Mare, he said. If you manage to kill my dearest sister, bring me her head. It shall be a pleasure to devour it.
He grinned, his teeth gleaming in the light. I shuddered and turned about. The gigantic thing went back to gorging himself on sweets and pie. I sighed. I could see why Danish wanted me to help so badly. He was watching Sampony, who was his best friend, slowly become a horridly obscene creature who simply didn't care about any pony else around him. I pushed open the door, seeing Danish waiting for me. He smiled.
So, what do you think of the boss? He said as I fell into line next to him.
We trotted along down the hallway, which was now empty of any guards.
I'm not sure, to be honest, I replied. He gave me the information on how to get to Pride, but there was no trade-off.
Danish nodded.
That's because I'm the one making the deals, he said. I'm calling together a meeting of companies of the gang. You're gonna help me fix things for the boss.
I snorted.
You want me to mediate a truce? Me? What am I going to say that will sway the companies to cooperate? I said.
Don't worry. Hopefully you won't have to say a thing. You just need to be there. All of the MMMMM, Gluttony included, think you're one amazing mare sugar, Danish said. All the things I've heard on the radio. You taking down the cowpones, the triad, Ruff. If they aren't impressed by you, they're afraid of you.
He continued, grinning like his boss.
But the MMMM is fractured right now. Gluttony is in there eating himself to death and the rest of the boys are wondering where this is all going. They're scared, and rightly so.
And you don't think Gluttony is going to do anything about it?
I replied. Danish shook his head feverishly.
No, the boss doesn't have the focus on the gang he once did. But we have to try to unite anyways. If we can, we can show him just how in control we can be,
the stallion said as we exited the long hall. We were in what appeared to be an apartment complex now. A few short feet away was a door that stood halfway open. I could hear our other friends' voices drifting out from it.
Now, you all should get some rest. I'm setting up the meeting for tomorrow.
I nodded and pushed the door open. Violet looked up at me as I stepped inside. The others were sitting quietly, talking among themselves.
Danish said there was some complicated business happening here, Star. How did your meeting with Gluttony go?
She asked.
He's interesting. He gave us this map to get into stable 180 through the sewer system.
I said, pulling out the map and handing it to Violet with my magic. She took it and quickly scanned it before handing off the scraps of paper to Nixies. The Hellhound grinned as he handled the ancient map, using his intelligence to quickly determine where we had to enter the sewers from.
There's something else. Danish has asked for me to attend a meeting of the MMMMM companies. He wants to unite the gang again, stop the infighting.
What's stopping us from just leaving that fucker here and going to the stable? Lust interjected. I glared at her.
Because, like it or not, I owe Danish for saving our asses at Coulterfield, and having met Gluttony, I can understand why he wants to help so badly.
I said. Lust's eyes narrowed at me.
So the old bastard really is still alive. I'm gonna have to stop in some time and say hello.
Lust purred. I shuddered.
I don't think you'd be that interested in him now, Lust.
I said.
He's about 5 times your size now, at least.
Lust looked to be deep in thought for a brief moment before finally shuddering herself. I chuckled.
Anyways, I think it's high time we got some rest. We've got a big day tomorrow.
I thought Danish said that he only wanted you there,
Patch said.
I think if things are as volatile as Danish is making them out to be, then we had better be prepared for the worst, and that means bringing all the security we have.
I said, taking my bags off and setting them next to our bedroll. I laid down, feeling very morose. I had been so close to the tower, and yet now it felt so far away. My mind whirled with thoughts of pride, of spark, and of gluttony. I felt bad for the poor thing. He was a victim of power, a victim of the insanity that was pride. I wondered what would happen afterwards, for all of us. Violet and I would probably go back to the followers, but what about Steeljack and Patch? What about Nixies, Lust and Gluttony? What would these ponies, no, these people do without pride meddling in their lives? I sighed and buried my head into Violet's neck, trying like hell to get some form of sleep. My eyes closed finally as I allowed my mind to drift into dreams. I groaned. The endless hallway stretched out before me in both directions, just like it had for so many months.
Why can't I have normal dreams for once?
I thought. I sat in front of a pair of white double doors with a green and red flame above it. The fire went out with a whoosh, and the doors swung open wide with a creak. I stepped through the doorway, leading into a long, gray metal hall. I trotted along, wondering where I was going to end up. The hallway finally opened up into a large cylindrical room I had seen before. It was the room where I had left the book. The room with those freaky little statues in the museum. In the center of the lab stood a purple unicorn with 2 heads? The unicorn turned about and grinned widely with its 2 heads as it took notice of me.
She's here,
the left head said. The other one nodded.
Yes, she is,
the right one replied. The 2 heads smiled again and began speaking in unison.
Welcome, Radiant Star, they said. We are Avarice. Avarice? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I said, stepping up before the pony-shaped thing.
Avarice is a pursuit of all things. Power, fame, fortune. We are the center of Twilight's emotions associated with greed,
the thing said.
Greed? What was Twilight greedy for?
I said. The two-headed unicorn laughed heartily.
Twilight was greedy for so many things. Her greed for power consumed her, as did the laugh of her brother,
it said. It was this greed that allowed Nightmare to corrupt us so. I pondered the thing's words. How far had Twilight been willing to pursue the thing to save Shining Armor?
Nightmare, she was around during the war. How was it that Twilight didn't recognize her?
I asked the thing. Twilight was too consumed, too ingrained in the promises of Spark to even care, it replied. But we are not here to hear your questions about Twilight. We have questions for you.
For me?
I said.
What do you mean?
We wish to know what you are going to do to magic, the amalgamated being said.
You have a choice to make after all.
I narrowed my gaze at the thing.
I'm aware, I said. I haven't decided yet. Furthermore, I still haven't decided what I'm going to do afterwards.
That choice remains unspoken, for now. You must decide what you will do with the element of magic. We remind you that much hangs in the balance, the thing said. Without magic, the spark that drives the elements of harmony will not exist. And this puts the world in far greater peril than ever.
I know, I shouted at the creature. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, all right? It's all I've been thinking about.
We urge you to think harder, the thing said. Your decision will affect more than you know. I sighed and looked down at my hoofs. What was I going to do about Spark? Discord had let on that I would be making a choice that would affect the world. Did that have to do with the corrupted element of magic? Or was he talking about something else? I couldn't figure it out. I looked back up at Everest. I had more questions that needed to be answered.
While I was out of my body, I was visited by Twilight. I need to know. Where is she? How did you contact me?
I said. Twilight is not here right now, the thing said. We are not at liberty to tell you any more.
Why not?
I said angrily. Because you're not ready, the two-headed unicorn replied coldly. I growled.
What do you mean? I'm ready for whatever it is I'm supposed to be ready for,
I shouted. The two heads chuckled. If you don't even know what it is, how can you be ready? They said. I groaned in reply. I hated mind games like this. The twin heads of Everest grinned widely.
Fine, I said, gritting my teeth. Then I have a message for Twilight I want you to pass on. After I take care of Spark, we're done. I want my old life back. I don't want to be her. I want to be me.
Everest heads glared at me. They clearly did not like my answer.
We're not a messenger service, Radiant Star. Make your choice. Only then will you be ready to face the end,
they said as things began to fade to black. I awoke much as I always did, to darkness. As my eyes refocused on the room, I shivered. A draft had begun blowing through our living quarters in the night. I felt instant warmth as Violet snuggled closely next to me, murmuring in her sleep. I quickly realized that I had woken up when every pony else was still asleep. Every pony except for me. My eyes widened when I counted the others in the room. Lust was gone. I carefully extricated myself from Violet's embrace, leaving her grasping at the blankets in a sleepy attempt to recapture my warmth. She looked so adorable, I almost couldn't pull myself away, but I had to. I had to know where Lust had gone off to. I made my way through the dark room, peering out into the hallway.
No sign of her there,
I thought. I was about to turn away when I heard a voice.
Star?
The soft feminine voice reached my ears. I perked up instantly, craning my neck around to see where it had come from. Standing outside the window of our quarters on the fire escape was a pony I had been looking for. She also appeared to be the reason the draft was now making every pony shiver. I sighed as I stepped out onto the cramped fire escape and sat down next to her, sliding the window closed behind me.
Everything all right?
I said. Lust shook her head.
I'm frightened,
she said quietly. I couldn't believe my ears.
You're shitting me,
I said incredulously.
Is a great and powerful Lust afraid?
Har har, love it up, she said, sticking her tongue out at me.
I'm serious, I can feel her star. Pride, she's just waiting for the right time to strike, to turn me back into what I was before. I thought you had broken free of her, I asked.
Lust shrugged.
I don't know that I will ever be able to fully break free of her until she's dead, she said.
I looked out upon the city of Chickacold. The MMMMM space wasn't terribly high, but even 3 stories was enough that I could see a large part of the city. Campfires and the odd streetlight glowed against the velvet dark. Chickacold in all its faded, musty glory. I don't think I had ever considered Lust a true enemy. Even when she was trying to kill us, she had been playful. She'd enjoyed the fight, enjoyed the teasing. This wasn't that mare. Lust was nervous and unhappy, and now I considered her a true friend.
Lust, trust me when I say you can do it. You just need to be stronger, I said.
Lust groaned.
You think I don't know that? You think I liked what I was before leaving her?
She said.
I was an assassin. Pride's word. Sure, I had fun with the job, Star, but I was a weapon. Something of the things I did, I don't know that I can ever be stronger than that. But you can. All you have to do is trust me. Trust in your friends. You do know that we are your friends, right?
I said, trying my best to console the poor mare. She nodded.
I know. Even Patch, despite the fact that she doesn't like me very much,
the black mare said.
I chuckled. Patch does like you. You two actually have a lot more in common than you think. You're both intelligent, strong mares. I don't doubt for a second that she would have your back in a pinch,
I said. Lust nodded, clearly mulling over what I was trying to say. She nodded finally and smiled.
I suppose you're right. I guess I would too, she said, grinning. However, we've got one problem.
Problem? I cocked my head.
Yeah, if we're gonna be facing Pride, we're gonna need some extra guns. I'm going to need new power armor, she said. I've been able to survive so far on my wits, but that's not going to help me in a real firefight. I need firepower, and I need it bad, sister.
I chuckled.
How do we handle that?
I said, feeling very confused. I wasn't even remotely sure how one acquired Pegasus power armor like I had seen Lust previously wearing.
You don't have to worry about anything. I just need to have a little chat with Gluttony and possibly Patch. Gluttony has one of my old suits stashed away just in case he ever got to rip another one off of me,
Lust said, pausing to draw a happy sigh.
Good times. Anyway, Patch should be able to help me upgrade my arsenal once I get some armor together.
I nodded and then shivered once more.
That's great, but I'm a little cold. Can we go back inside?
I chattered. Lust grinned.
Oh, what's the matter? Don't want to stay out here and let me warm you up?
She cooed. I shuddered.
Once again, Lust, my friend, have one. Sorry,
I said. Lust chuckled.
Still got it, though,
she said, rubbing a hoof on her chest and blowing on it. She started to head back into the room before stopping once more and looking up at me.
Star?
Yeah?
Thanks again, she said, disappearing back into the room.
I grinned. No matter what Holt Pride had on her, she would not have it any longer. I would personally see to it that the black mare would get to live her own life. I looked back up at the sky. Luna's moon held high in the air, fuller than I had ever seen it. I gave up a short prayer to the Lunar Princess and stepped back into the room myself, closing the window behind me as I did. Violet was still curled up in our bedroll, looking as adorable as ever. Lust smiled as she stepped out into the hallway. Knowing where she was headed, I paid no mind as I laid back down next to Violet and curled around her. At some point I must have fallen asleep because I distinctly remembered being awoken to a cold metal hoof poking me in the side. I groaned and rolled over.
You know that thing kind of hurts,
I said, opening my eyes to see Violet standing there. She had a concerned look on her face.
What? What's wrong? Lust, she said quietly. She's gone.
I laid my head back, a chuckle escaping my lips as I looked back at Violet, who cocked her head with a confused expression.
What? What's so funny?
It's fine. She went to go see Gluttony, I said. She'll be back soon, trust me.
Violet looked at me funny.
What? I woke up in the middle of the night and she was out on the fire escape. We had a bit of a chat and she's going to procure some new power armor for herself.
I see, Violet replied.
I snickered as I sat up on my haunches.
You're cute when you're asleep, by the way,
I said. Violet's cheeks went red immediately. I grinned, reaching forward and stealing a soft kiss on her cheek. I looked around the room, checking on the others. Patch and Steeljack were still sleeping somewhat soundly in the far corner, while Nixies was sitting in the other corner. He was back to poking away at the map we had received from Gluttony. I stood and trotted over to him. He appeared to be stuck deeply in thought as I came up behind him.
"Find anything?"
I said, startling him. He let out a snarl and I gave a sheepish grin.
"Oh, sorry about that."
"It's all right. I haven't been sleeping too well, I guess," the Hellhound replied. "The map seems rather straightforward. This particular entrance to the sewers is going to take us down through what appears to be a ministry hub."
"A ministry hub?" I said. "Does it say which one?"
The Hellhound shrugged.
"I'm not too familiar with the area, but it looks to be a Ministry of Peace hospital hub,"
he said. I nodded. At least it would be a nice change of pace from the insanity of the other ministry hubs I'd been in before. Having nothing better to do, I opted to sit down next to Nixies and look over the map with him. There was an extensive network of sewers beneath this city, but this particular set of tunnels only ran between the ministry hub and Philly's tower.
"Must have been some sort of secret passage for the ministries," I thought.
The rest of the morning came and went with little to speak of. We had breakfast and took stock of our supplies. With the company meeting not scheduled until that night, there simply wasn't much we could do other than wait. Danish stopped by at some point during the morning and he had agreed with our decision to secure and enforce a meeting. Eventually, I just sat, thinking about things until a knock at the door brought me out of my stupor. I looked up as the door opened and a vision of cold black metal filled my eyes. Lust grinned, stepping into the room to show off her new power armor. It shone like black diamond. The carapace-like material the armor was made of snugly fits the sleek, powerful mare well. Her visor was pulled back, revealing her trademark grin.
"Still fits,"
she said happily, trotting around in the armor. Uncannily, she barely made a noise as she pranced and fluttered about.
"Must be a Pegasus thing," I thought.
The black mare posed for the others as they came up to greet her.
"Wow, that's actually kind of nice,"
Patch said, letting her gaze drift up and down the armor. Lust grinned even wider.
"Thanks,"
she said, trailing off before looking over at the green mare.
I'm not good at this, but I was kind of hoping that you would help me with the weaponry, Patch."
Patch's eyes widened.
"Really? You want me to help you? Is this some sort of trick?"
the green earth pony said. Lust shook her head nervously.
"No, I really want your help. I've seen how good you are at repairing things and this other stuff. I was hoping you could help me come up with something really good,"
she said. Patch lit up with delight as she launched herself forward at the other mare, grabbing her into a hug. Lust chuckled.
Okay, you can let go now, Greenie. We got some work to do, remember?"
Patch laughed as she pulled away and dragged the black Pegasus away to the far corner of the room. I smiled. Finally, those two found something they both enjoyed and were able to connect on. I couldn't be happier. Eventually, the two left to go find some pony to barter with for materials. I went back to having a nap, thinking about the night ahead of me, of Spark and Pride, and of a decision I had yet to make.